Hey, thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. But Kane brought that back up so I can say like I did on Friday. Never surprised, but always so very proud of this audience that we're all a part of here, because specifically, y'all made yourselves known with the donation of N95 and higher masks last week for USA Children's and Women's Hospital, that they specifically said folks were hearing it here at FM Talk 106.5 and bringing those masks by. Heck, we saw the pictures that people were showing. Thanks, y'all. Keep it up. If you get out there in the shop looking around, find some of those masks. Those on the front line need them most, and that's the people they need to get them to. And it's going to be, listen, there's a lot of projects going where I know my wife was involved in a thing where they're sewing, doing some masks, some make-at-home masks, get the material, put them together. Listen, this is, our country's resilient. We pull together. And this, like the president said, is somewhat like a war. And I would argue, like somebody said on the show on Friday, it's like a world war because you have fronts all over. You have fronts in Asia, fronts in Europe, fronts in Africa, fronts in the Americas. Mm-hmm. This is a global deal, but we as Americans will take care of our own, and not surprised, but always so very proud of this audience. Y'all are awesome.
Yeah, and I think I saw somewhere that Apple, of course, who's headed by Tim Cook, the former, was it Fairhope or Robertsdale?
Robertsdale, yeah, Baldwin County guy, yes.
Robertsdale native. Yeah. I think they've sent 65,000 N95 masks to Alabama for help. And I've got a question. I was just like so many looking for stuff to do outside this weekend, uh-huh. And I went out and started cleaning up the shop some. And initially last week, just a quick view, I couldn't find any of those N95 masks. But lo and behold, as I was moving things around yesterday, I found a pack in my shop. And it was a 3-pack. I think we ended up only using one.
So it was opened?
It was opened, and we only used one of the masks. So, I'd like to donate it.
If things get, Kane, if you can find out, or if somebody with USA Children's or Women's Hospital listening this morning, I know last week we were talking about new in box, mm-hmm. and people were taking, like, they came in a blister pack or in a sealed sleeve. That's what they were looking for. If that package is opened, can you still... I don't know.
Okay.
We'll find out. We'll find out the needs on that and make sure. But N95 or higher is the mask. I was looking for zip ties yesterday. I had a project big enough, y'all, that I ran through all the zip ties I had in my pickup. I mean, that's a serious project.
Goodness.
Had to go get some more zip ties. And I was in a store looking for zip ties, and I saw the N47 mask were sold out at this store. And I was like, well, that's not the... I mean, it's for the look, I guess. And I saw this Friday... I was in a store Friday and saw, that's where I saw the plexiglass. Now I remember. I was in Harbor Freight on Friday.
Of course you were.
Because I'm old enough now. I'm on the young end of dudes that go to Harbor Freight at 47, but I started going there probably 5 or 6 years ago, way young.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, ladies, mature ladies, if you're looking for a dude, I'm telling you right now, a high density of older dudes at Harbor Freight, they're there. But there were three guys in there that had masks, and two of them had gloves on, pushing their carts around inside. I didn't check if they were N95 or higher, but they had donated. They had a note there. They had donated their mask. Of course, we had that story from last week, Harbor Freight donating their mask and gloves, the nitrile gloves, to folks in the medical field.
Yeah.
But these dudes had them on, and they were walking around the store in them.
Yeah,
this is a new look.
As so many stores, they dedicate an hour, usually the opening mm-hmm. hour of each day, to seniors. I think Harbor Freight, they're having senior hour now from open to close entire day.
If there's certain places I can go to in town and I'll feel old. You want to feel young again for me in my late 40s, I'll just roll up in Harbor Freight, me and all my other old dudes. By the way, numbers from yesterday. Now, unfortunately, I don't think I'm going out on a limb. These numbers will increase today. We'll get another report. But as of yesterday, 830 COVID-19 cases in the state of Alabama. Alabama Department of Public Health reported 41 confirmed cases in Mobile County, 15 in Baldwin County, 4 in Washington County, and 1 in Escambia County, and 1 in Monroe County. ADPH confirming 4 deaths in the state. Now, that's important because people will say, well, wait a second, because they confirmed a death in Lauderdale County, Jackson County, Chambers County, and Madison County. That's all North Alabama. But people say, hey, we had fatalities here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but they haven't gone through the confirmation process, I guess, with ADPH.
Yeah, ADPH says they're investigating each death individually and trying to determine whether those deaths were specifically because of COVID-19. But we've seen so many deaths, and I mean, we're losing people from the music world, from the sports world. It's hitting all corners, and
Go ahead.
Oh well, I was just going to say we've seen people and we've seen papers and reporters reporting deaths from around the state that haven't been included in those numbers, like we were just saying. East Alabama Medical Center in Opelika on Saturday said they had 5 deaths within a 36-hour span. Those, as far as I know, have not been added to the ADPH numbers. Now, they did bring those numbers up a little bit this morning to 6 deaths in the state of Alabama.
Okay.
But that doesn't square with how many that have been reported.
Imagine when they had that presser, probably middle of the day today, we'll probably get the update.
Mm-hmm. And that medical center in Opelika, it services a pretty large swath of that area in East Alabama. So they said 3 of the deaths that they reported were from Chambers County and 2 were from Lee County. So you're wondering why they had so many in one day there. There's just so many people coming from that part of the state to that medical center. But I think, unfortunately, we're going to see that number rise.
Yeah, this is one of these factors, too, I think, that has got more people engaged in this when you know somebody who has coronavirus or has passed away. And we talk about here in Mobile, 66-year-old Wayman Henry, a well-known musician. He passed away on Friday. And then over the weekend, Tim Gaston passed away at Thomas Hospital in Fairhope. And I know Tim Gaston. So now I talked about it on Friday. I knew somebody who had the case. We didn't want to say a name, but it was Tim Gaston, and Tim Gaston passing away this weekend. So I know somebody who's had it and somebody who has died from it. So, unfortunately, these numbers will continue to rise as we go forward, but hopefully they peak sometime soon. The president saying that, hey, let's look at this. It was aspirational to look at Easter, but he has extended the guidelines going forward.
We will be extending our guidelines to April 30th to slow the spread.
Now, will April 30th then be moved forward? We hope not, but I mean, the epidemiologists out there are saying that the best case scenarios put us towards June before they would get rid of the order to socially distance and the limitations on gatherings up there. And that's what we'll do. We come back from the break. I want to get some audio from Governor Ivey's presser on Friday, talking about what businesses should close in the state. Talk about that. Also, what it means for your business. That's our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. How has your business been affected by the state's coronavirus shutdown? And you can tell us if you've had any, no effect, minor effect, major effect, or has had to close down. So where you work or your personal business, what's the effect? Right now, 11% of y'all say no effect. 22% say minor effect. Major effect, 67% of responses, and 0% have had to close. So let us know when you vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com.
Yeah, and speaking of, some of the passings over the weekend in the music world.
Yeah, Joe Diffie,
a guy I listened to a lot as a kid with my dad just riding around. Of course, John Deere Green and Pickup Man was the song that I listened to just over and over and over again. But Joe Diffie passed away at the age of 61 from complications from the disease. Also, someone who co-wrote I Love Rock and Roll with Joan Jett, Alan Merrill, passed away due to complications from COVID-19. And someone who's having a really tough time with it right now, and someone that I think everyone has heard of, John Prine, they say, critically ill with COVID-19. I think Prine now is, he's 73 years old, was hospitalized on Thursday. So I hate it. We're going to hear so many more stories from people that you've heard or mm-hmm. paid attention to for years and years and years, but also people that are, personal to you. And it's a tough time out there right now.
All right. We come back, and yeah, you're right. And I don't think we're at the end of this, Dalton, at all. Come back, we'll talk a little bit about the roadblock going on right now that has that traffic issue on I-10 at the Alabama-Florida line, what they're doing. Also, Governor Ivey's presser from Friday, where she talked about closing non-essential businesses in the state or businesses that had too much social contact. Get a little bit of that and your reaction when we return. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll be right back. Thank you, Kane. 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. And you will check your text and get your phone calls at 343-0106, plus talk about that 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. By the way, local businesses, this is one of them. This is my buddy Trey. He's been doing this for 11-plus years. He's been around even longer than FM Talk 106.5 and doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And he and I were talking the other day. He said, man, we are working. He said, we are wide open. You can call. Get 1-800-GOT-JUNK, go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, get that appointment. And you know, just, this is me, this is not even Trey talking, but I just know personally, I'm seeing more projects, I'm working on more projects around the house, I'm seeing more things that need to be done. And some of that is getting rid of junk and clearing things out. Maybe this is your time to strike too. And normally you're like, man, I'm so busy, I can't. Maybe right now is the time to do that. And Trey says, man, we practice social distancing. He said you can pay with a credit card, you know, you can do it remotely like that. He said actually their service you can do remotely. He said we have gigs that we get called on that people live out of state or have a house or something like that. They go over, look at the cleanup job. Okay, they quote the price to the person that's wherever, not here, and they tell them to go ahead. They get it done. They show the proof of completion, and they do it all on credit card. So you don't even have to be there.
That's service, right?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. They're sanitizing their trucks. They've got the mask and gloves. They got all that kind of stuff. And it's probably a good time to point out that junk around your house and get it gone and get it done with a local business and a friend of mine. So give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Check them out. Also, the sponsor of the online opinion poll question, how has your business been affected by the state's coronavirus shutdown? 11% say no effect, minor effect 22%, major effect 67%, and thank goodness 0% said they've had to close. But there's a lot of people on the text line that have talked about that they are, even if their business is open, this is the nuance that's of interest, even if their business is open, sometimes their suppliers are not, or their customers are quarantining or something like that. Which, by the way, side note, just geeky thing of the day, so we're beyond quarantine. We're going to have to come up with a new term.
Yeah.
I know people don't use it that way, but it comes from the Latin for 40. So it was 40 days. And with April being added in here, we'll be well past quarantine. So we'll have to...
I had no idea all this time that quarantine...
I think you can use it however, but I mean, it comes from the Latin for 40. So, let's go with this text for a second. Then I want to get to Governor Ivey's audio here. David said, since Gen Xers and the hippie generation that own boats can't see, he was doing this on Twitter over the weekend, David, trying to, it's a plea for help, David. Said, since Gen Xers and the hippie generation that own boats can't seem to be responsible because they congregate on islands on the weekend, I think it's imperative that the governor shut down all the boat ramps in the state. We're in this together, right? And that was his big move over the weekend. Well, David, you're a fool. Now, those people individually may be making bad choices, but there's plenty of folks using those boat ramps to socially distance and get out on the water and enjoy being outside. The outside doesn't have COVID. It's the people. Mm-hmm. So if you're outside and enjoying it, that's fine. Listen, the nuance of people being able to go to islands that are not connected to the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, when they put that order out of the beach closures, I said it that day. I said, this is ham-fisted. It's basically just to get the spring breakers gone. You're going to tell me that a sandbar up on the river, if this keeps going, when the rivers drop and the sandbar up on the Tom Bigbee of the Alabama, you're going to shut that down too? How are you going to do that? You have Alabama Marine Police do all that?
There's really not a problem if you're out there in the boat, it's just you and your family who you've probably been quarantining with anyway, and if you're not getting too close while you're in the boats, or even if you get on land, as long as you're staying far apart, you're really doing the social distancing the right way. It's when you get tens of people and hundreds of people that get really closely packed together that you're not helping the situation at all. And I got to say, I had some errands to run this weekend, and I know a lot of the stores, several that I went to, were doing social distancing the right way. You know, they had the tape out there, mm-hmm. staying 6 feet away. Some, like Lowe's, had the plexiglass windows in front of the cashier. But I went to Walmart over the weekend and went at the worst time in the day. It was midday Saturday, and hundreds of people in there, and you know, the employees, I think they were trying to do things the right way. They did have the tape and they had signs out there, but the people that were in Walmart were acting like this isn't a thing. I mean, they were crowded on top of each other.
So how many people were in the Walmart when you're there?
It's tough to estimate, but the parking lot was full. I would say 500 to 1,000, just my best guess.
So by David's logic, then we should shut down Walmart.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We need to be careful. You know how one person can ruin something for everyone else? If these places that are open, if you're not doing your part and going in and shopping and doing social distancing the right way, then that's going to be taken away from us too. You know, they're only going to be allowed to let in, I don't know, 5 or 10 people at a time in Walmart, and then you end up with big long lines. So I just, you know, if you're going out and shopping, even if you're in a place that's open, try to do your part. I did not see that at a couple places this weekend.
You should have seen me trying to stand on the tape. I was at the parts house yesterday and stand on the tape and lean forward far enough to use my debit card. It was a comedy. All right. So Governor Ivey on Friday talked about the shutdown a little bit from her speech on Friday.
Clearly, we have our own unique set of circumstances in our state that we must rise to the task to meet. So rather than shutting the entire state down, I propose a different solution. Today, I joined Dr. Harris in announcing a specific list of businesses that will be closed until April 17. I do not believe our economy needs a full shelter-in-place order, as some other states have done, not at this time, and hopefully not ever. However, I do believe limiting social gatherings as much as possible will be the best way we can combat this virus. And if people want to do more individually by imposing your own shelter in place, you don't need my permission to do so. This decision has not been made lightly, but it has been made with a tremendous amount of concern and discussion. Places where people closely interact with each other and often touch one another will need to temporarily shut their doors. Places like nail salons, day spas, barbershops, gyms, fitness centers, bowling alleys, and concert venues.
All right, so a little bit of what the governor called for. The list goes like this: on entertainment venues, nightclubs, bowling alleys, arcades, concert venues, theaters, auditorium, performing arts centers, tourist attractions, including museums and planetariums. Do we have a planetarium in the state? Maybe up at the, maybe up in Huntsville? Planetariums are, I love planetariums. Racetracks, indoor children's play areas, adult entertainment venues.
Shut them down, right?
Even the pasties can't protect you there. Casinos, bingo halls, or venues operated by social clubs. That one stood out to me as well because, you know, that's one of the ways in the state you can get around ABC laws, right? You say, well, this is not a bar or restaurant. It's a private club. It's a social club. You have to have a card or some silliness like that. I guess they shut those down as well. Athletic facilities and activities, fitness centers and commercial gyms, which, by the way, we'll talk to Garrett Williamson from Personal Wedge Fitness. He's going to talk about how you can do your workouts at home with a trainer. It's pretty cool stuff. Spas and public or commercial swimming pools. Yoga. I've never been able to say this word. Is it beret or bar or beret?
I think it's bar.
It's bar. And spin facilities, spectator sports, sports that involve interaction with another person closer than 6 feet. So tennis, I guess, is okay.
Yeah, I would think so.
Badminton's okay. Activities that require the use of shared sporting apparatus or equipment. Activities on commercial or public playground equipment. That's like Mobile, where we took the rims down from the basketball goals. Close contact service providers, barbershops, hair salons, waxing salons, threading salons?
Never heard of it.
I don't know. Nail salons and spas, body art facilities and tattoo services, tanning salons, massage therapy establishments, massage services. Y'all start thinking about what this means to so many businesses, so many small businesses. Furniture and home furnishing stores, clothing, shoe and clothing accessory stores, jewelry, luggage, and leather goods, department stores, sporting goods stores, book craft, and music stores. The sporting goods store, I think, is interesting because, and I want to see what's open and not open there, because sporting goods stores shut down, but gun stores are not. So what percentage of your business has to be guns to be considered a gun store and not a sporting goods store? Does anybody have any clarity on that? We'll dig for that when we get back and take your calls. 343-0106.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning. So we've been talking about the great deals at McConnell and the website. Why don't you lay it out for the folks?
That's right. Website is McConnellAutomotive.com. We got some great deals on that. Also, we got zero for 84 months, 120-day payment deferral. I mean, we got it going on here. We got the had a big cleaning crew come in over the weekend, and I mean, they really cleaned this place up. I don't think it's ever been this clean in a long time. But we got little Orlando. He's going by cleaning all the cars every day, cleaning all the handles. Everything's safe. And don't forget, we got the shop, click, drive. As Mitch says, shop, click, save. It's on the internet. We can just about do everything we need to do on the internet, and we can bring the car to you. Also, don't forget, we'll pick your car up for service. Just trying to help everybody out in these trying times. So just don't forget, just give us a buzz at 251-476-4141. Don't forget also, we'll buy your car. So
that's right.
Everybody has a safe day out there. And like I said, just give us a call or check our website out.
All right. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 837, lots of texts to get to, and we'll get to your phone calls as well. But the first text I'm going to jump to is different from the rest, but it answers a question that I had. Supermom says, threading is like eyebrow waxing, except they use a thread. Pretty neat, but painful. Google it. I have not had time to go. Thread on your eyebrow.
I'm still having trouble picturing how that's done.
She told us to Google it, so I guess we'll do that. All right, let's see. This texter says, we're in the storage business. Lost 10 tenants over the weekend. Guess they took advantage of the downtime to finally clean out their unit. Aiden says, and pawn shops as well, Sean. I don't know when they put that out and they said sporting goods stores shut down, how much of the percentage of the footprint has to be. This goes back to, you know, they talk about bars and grills and different laws apply depending on how much is food and how much is alcohol that you sell there. I forget what the ratio is, but it's something they bring up. I don't know that because they're talking about shutting down sporting goods stores, but a lot of those places, I mean, there's a few places that just have sporting goods and no guns, but a lot of them have guns as well. This texter says, hello, David. It's you, David. I was on a boat in Orange Beach on Saturday. Although I did not beach my boat on Robinson Island, my family did some boat riding and quarantining. Don't be jealous. It's unbecoming.
I saw a lot of boats coming and going on the back of, on some trailers behind, being pulled by trucks this weekend. And I was trying to remember back to last year and years prior, whether I'm seeing more boats or about the same number of boats you'd see when the weather is mid-80s and sunny like it was this weekend.
I think
weekend.
You'll see more because people have, there's more people that are not working regular schedules to get out and enjoy. That's my guess. This texture says, car washes, home improvement stores, chiropractors, non-emergency veterinary visits, all considered essential by the governor. They were all packed this weekend. Kind of weekend, whoever texted this, kind of weekend did you have here? I like this. No, this sounds like my door. This person went to car wash, home improvement store, the chiropractor, and non-emergency vet visit.
I had to go to the vet this weekend. I had a dog who was having some issues last week. And when I called, I take him to PetSmart, Banfield there. And when I called, they said they're only taking dogs and cats in that are having, you know, some real issues, not just your standard vet visits. And then when I got there, they actually called and met me at the door and took the dog in from outside of Banfield and took him in. So I thought that was interesting.
Curb service for the dog.
Right, and they were wearing all the PPE also in there with the vet's office. So that was interesting. And I'm like the texter there. I had a lot of errands to run this weekend, and trying your best to do the social distancing and staying clean while getting out and doing the things that have to be done. And it does bring about an important question in what's essential and what's non-essential. I think most people would argue, well, it's my business, it's my livelihood, so it's essential to
correct.
At least me. And there's so many things that, you know, people have to get done that they would consider essential. Where's that line drawn, and are they going to move that line over the next few weeks?
Yeah, it's and people trying to get a check to come through the door. Of course, we've got one check coming from the government, the one-time payment. Mnuchin talked about that yesterday.
We're very sympathetic to the people who don't have jobs, and that's why the president was very clear that he wanted me to work with Congress on a bipartisan basis quickly to support those people.
The bigger part of that, I really do think, is this move with the Small Business Administration and the loans. They're looking at making it so small businesses can go, the way I understand it, we'll talk more about this, by the way, Cam's show, you know, which is going to be on, like last week, on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock, Cam Barston from What's Working has his special special editions where we're talking about small business issues, but really got into last week, talked about how these small business loans will work. I talked to Congressman Byrne on Friday as well, how it will work. And y'all, the way I understand this is the bankers know way more about this than us. They have been briefed in this, the way I understand this. And we show up at your banker, your small business person, you say, hey, I'm here for the loan, the small business relief loan. And the loan will be given, no question, because it's federally backed. And out of that, what I think is interesting, it's a long-term loan and it's 4%. But out of the loan, what is used to pay salaries and wages, operating cost, rent, utilities, all those things are going to be 100% forgiven. So this is a move by the federal government, I think a smart one, to keep people on the payroll and off the unemployment rolls. And it's also good for the economy that when things get better, you already have your staff there and you can go right back to work. So this has got to be a big sigh of relief for small businesses that are that have diminished business right now or fall under what the governor said on Friday and are shut down. They can still keep their staff working, or no, keep their staff on payroll even if they're not working.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that the federal government's able to get this out quickly, these small business loans and also the checks to people, because I'm absolutely dreading the unemployment numbers from later this week. I don't know if it'll be Wednesday or Thursday, but you know, last week alone we saw the number was 3.3 million nationally that filed for unemployment. I think in Alabama it was right around 60,000. It might have been a little higher than that, but it's a number that, you know, we're not going to look forward to seeing week after week, however long this shutdown lasts. And the quicker they're able to get this help out there, maybe these small businesses are able to keep more people on the payroll.
That's what we're hoping. All right, get your calls when we get back at 343-0106. And from the text line, I like this. Polecat said, I had another great experience at LCM Motors. They go the extra mile every time, thanks to Joey and James. Listen, I love hearing those stories, locally owned businesses. They keep working, keep doing a good job. If they have to make an adjustment here or there to make it work, then good. They make those adjustments and keep working out there and keep people employed and keep the economy going. There's got to be some balance here, even with the president extending this through April 30th, to do this in a smart way, a open-eyed way to the dangers of coronavirus, at the same time to keep business going out there. All right, coming right back. 844, this is FM Talk 106.5. Right, 848, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Morning, Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. We're online at fmtalk1065.com, where you can take part in the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I'm just trying to gauge temperature here. This is what we do with these polls. You know, we're asking last week about how quarantined were you. This week, how has your business been affected by the state's coronavirus shutdowns? Governor Ivey, of course, talking about that on Friday. 9% of y'all have no effect, 27% minor effect, 64% major effect, and nobody has had to close yet. So that's great news.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a lot of folks out here have an effect in getting texts from y'all. I mean, everybody from folks in the storage rental business to people that are bringing oysters in to home builders to, I mean, so many businesses out there that have different kinds of effects. And they say, well, we're still essential, we're working, but maybe some of their clients that they can't go to work for, or their suppliers are backed up, or so it has impacts that are far ranging here. I saw this side note. That's sad. Is that true? Supermom said a post on Facebook. And Dalton, as I read this, vet out the the time here. I said a post on Facebook pointed out the kids born around 9/11 are the kids graduating this year with COVID-19.
Yeah,
I heard
the same thing. Born in 2001.
Yeah, so they would be,
you know, between 18 and 19 right now if they were born after 9/11, and that's exactly right. So
it stinks. I've got a nephew who's a senior this year at McGill, and just looking at and his story is just one of so many. But this is my kin that are dealing with this, and this is stinks for him.
Yeah, you know. On Prep Sports Report on Saturday morning, the guys Corey Labounty, Mark Laster, Rick Cleveland did a great job of getting some of our local coaches on to talk about their seniors that didn't get a senior season in their spring sport, whether it's baseball, softball, track and field. So many of them just don't get that send-off and don't get to play with their friends for one of the 4 years in high school they have to play high school spring sports. And I thought it was great getting some of them on to talk about their seniors. But yeah, it stinks for them. And how will this affect the next, you know, over the summer and going into fall? What about college orientation for freshmen? What about juniors going into their senior year of high school? What about graduates for college that are trying to graduate and enter the job market? It's ridiculous.
Here's my default as of late, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of these situations are brought up each day. Like, well, how does this work? And I don't know. We got to figure this out. One of the other stories, too, still seeing text about the slowdown, I-10 at the Alabama-Florida line. So Florida, and I first got note of this on Saturday. My buddy sent me a picture. Then he made a Smokey and the Bandit reference, because if you're like us, then a lot of things in life work around Smokey and the Bandit.
Of course.
Because he said, I went to Milton for a gravel ride. He rides mountain bikes. And we got through before they set the roadblock up, Smoking the Bandit style, but they were setting it up as he went through. Now that is what's causing traffic backups this morning, an effort to crack down on travel to Florida, and they're saying slow the spread of coronavirus. I hear this more specifically looking at people coming from Louisiana, but maybe Alabama and Mississippi as well. At the checkpoint, you're going to have to provide the address of where you intend to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that's what they're asking this morning. If you're going through and you're coming in, you're not a Florida resident, I guess you got to say, I'm going in and I'm going to stay at this place to be quarantined. Florida has also stopped vacation rentals for 2 weeks due to the number of people that were going to the state because of coronavirus lockdowns. So that is strange, too. If that would it happen in the states? Because you look now, let me circle back to those. Love to have one of those montages of all the people on cable news that called out the president as racist or this, that, or the other when he talked about shutting down travel from China and then Europe. Oh, the Europeans were in a fuss about that. Now within Europe, they're closing down countries from travel from other European countries, trying to slow this down. Does that ever get here to the states? In other words, let's look at the scenario right now. So New York, Washington State, super hot spots.
Right.
Louisiana, in its own right, is a hot spot. The number of new cases and all that. So, do you see states eventually going? If you had a state that didn't have as the state next to you, or some state somewhere else, distance from you, had tons of cases of coronavirus, kind of Florida's kind of doing this, but what if they said, we're not going to let anybody in who's not a state resident? Now, you can argue those people have been out, could get coronavirus and bring it back in, but do you think states will put laws up and say, nobody in the state from some... What would that do to interstate commerce?
Seriously.
Shut it completely down.
And I'm no public health expert, and I know we're defaulting to them a lot, but right. We're quickly heading in a direction that I want no part of. I mean, just think of how many different family members you have in different states, and God forbid one of your family members gets really sick in another state if they did have these shutdowns at the state line. And I know that if they're quarantined, you can't actually get in person to person to see somebody that you love, but if you can't even get in the same state as them, we're going to be talking about this for many, many years to come, and the amount of restrictions that have been put on Americans that I don't think we saw coming, or at least didn't see coming this quickly. It's happening at a rate that I never expected.
All right. I want to hear from you, your experiences at 343-0106. I got to say, we're going to get through this together. And one of the ways we do this, there's national and international news and all the spin up there. But when we've been faced with issues like this in the past, well, never one like this, but big issues in the past, as a community, we work our way through it. We figure it out. It is bigger than our community. This is one of the weird things. There's no safe place. You know, there's no people that can come to assist. I think for lack of a better thing to think about, hurricanes and the aftermath of hurricanes, people come in from other places to help wherever was affected, or tornadoes or earthquakes or natural disasters like this one. It's different. You're asked to stay. There's nothing really you can do. I mean, the folks on the front line of the medical field are doing the heavy lifting. I guess what we can do locally is to help support them. You know, and whether it's donating those masks or like the event they had yesterday in the parking lot of the hospitals to show support, just thank you to the folks in the medical field.
Yeah, God bless those folks, because they are working long, long days, and many can't even go home to see their family. They're quarantining.
All right, go to the phones. David is in Mobile up first. Hey, David.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Got a unique situation I want to explain to some people who may not really understand how this has reached other family members. My dad's been in quarantine basically for 2 weeks in assisted living facility, CDC guidelines, and I understand that. Well, yesterday he was admitted to the hospital for chest pains and shortness of breath. Tested negative for COVID-19. Now they're unsure if this assisted living facility will allow him to come back. And so... He's beyond our care at home. We can't take care of him. So what do we do with him? Where does he go? He's stuck in the middle. Is there a nursing home that's going to allow him to go there?
And
this all just happened in the last hour. So here I am as an adult taking care of my adult father at 87 that's not in good health. And now we don't know what we're going to do or where we're going to put him.
David, this is... I have no answers, but you have my heart, man, on this. So it's like an in-between zone where he can't go back to the assisted living facility, but y'all aren't a hospital to take care
exactly.
of.
Exactly. He's in a local hospital in Mobile. The assisted living facility is in Mobile. They're privately owned. They're trying to follow CDC guidelines, but at the same time, they're running a business and got to look out for everybody else.
Sure.
So I haven't got an answer today. I've been on the phone for the last hour, talked to the hospital, talked to the assisted living facility, and they can't make a decision because at this point, as of now, they don't have an answer for me. The good news is he is not being discharged as of now, but that can happen this afternoon, could happen tomorrow.
But you have him at the house, right? But you don't have all the facilities.
Well, we don't have him at the house, but we may be forced to. But because of his level of care, I don't know that we're going to be able to do that. That's the challenge.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm listening to your quandary, and my heart goes out to you. I don't know what you do, David. Do this when you get more information today. Will you call us back here, even during the midday show, or send an email or text to us to let me know how this is going?
I sure will. I just want everybody to kind of get a different perspective on what's really happening out there, though. Appreciate your time. Thank you for having a great day.
Hey, thank you. What do you do? If you're David, what do you do? My gosh. All right, 8:58. We'll be back in 3 for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.